Hi, welcome to the Abraxas podcast. I am Abraxas, and I hope that many of you will also become Abraxas over the course of this podcast. I'm sure many of you don't know who Abraxas is besides me and besides you someday. Abraxas is the union of God and Satan, of good and evil, of good and bad. It is the union of opposites. A lot of people in this world, they either want to be good or bad. There's a lot of bad people. But when we try to only be one or the other, we just end up bad. So Abraxas is both. We can go in between good and bad. We can stay in good. We can go to bad. But it's the ability to move along, let's call it a pendulum, consciously with control. So that brings me to a little story from Twitter today of libertarians. Little background, I am an anarchist. I hate government, not necessarily because it's bad, because everything can be good and bad. Because it's immoral, and it forces people to do things against their will, and it's slavery. But libertarians are super special people. Every single one of them knows the answer to all of the world's problems, and nobody else does. So there was this little theoretical going around today, which is just annoyed me, because everyone is so right. They're all so right. And it was a hypothetical of if you had to steal a penny, one penny, if you had to steal one penny to save your neighbor's life, would you? And there's a whole group of libertarians that would not steal a penny to save somebody's life. And because of this, they think they are good and moral and better people than others. And I think this is just a really good reflection on people's inability to accept their own identities, where they're now forming this concrete belief, I am good, I am good. I'm going to live by my virtues and my values, and I'm never gonna go away from them. And all that does is make them evil. It makes them violate their own self, their own souls, because now someone is dead because they wouldn't take a penny. And that doesn't necessarily mean violate all of your morals and principles. It means connecting to yourself and connecting to your soul and doing what is right, flowing with the universe instead of fighting with the universe. And I think it's super important, especially today when what you see in this world is just so evil, to really be able to go inside your own soul and find the good and find the bad and integrate it into yourself. So that's my fun little story today about Abraxas, and just a little example on how being too good is actually bad. Definitely some examples of being too bad, also becoming good, or not being too bad, but bad things in life happening and leading to good things. And that's my little introduction.
That was good. I think that was a good intro. People don't need to know who I am.
So. Sure they do. Everybody, this is Edgar. Yeah. Edgar is my friend who does really good things that have come from very bad things.
Or bad. Yeah, or bad.
And this is the union of good and bad, right? The government comes in and infringes on our Second Amendment rights. And then people like Edgar stand up and say, I'm going to protest you by giving or by teaching concealed carry classes for free as a means of a protest, which helps people that can't afford to take a shooting class to be able to get the king's permission to carry a gun and protect themselves.
So I want to, you've said this before, and I think it's been said a lot, but I think because this is a new platform, I think it's appropriate for you to kind of explain this whole idea behind anarchy, and not just anarchy itself, but this the complexity around anarchy. And you don't like the patriarchy, but then you also don't like the matriarchy. And I think you've made it a point before. I may be wrong, but you're just against all archy.
Fuck the archy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So kind of explain to me, because remember, we're talking to each other as if we're children at the moment.
We are children. We're all children.
First episode, people getting to know your thought process to a certain degree. So what is that whole idea behind anarchy and just no archy whatsoever?
Yeah. So the archy is just the set of rules from someone other than me. I don't give authority to anybody. I can voluntarily give authority over my life, but I haven't. But I have arrived at anarchy through what I'll call healing or self-healing. And I know a lot of people in the political realm will mock healing and psychology. But ultimately, the process of healing leads you to a place where your mind is free from your own mind. And I think, and please feel free to jump back in and get me back on track, because I'm probably going to go off quite a bit here. But in our own healing journeys, what we see is we are slaves to our emotions, to our thoughts, to our indoctrination. As children, we become so indoctrinated by everyone around us, our teachers, our parents, our neighbors. Religion, no one's born a Christian. Their parents are Christian and they raise them Christian. The majority of people are the same religion and the same political beliefs as their parents. That's not just coincidence, that's indoctrination and conditioning. Conditioning, I think, is probably a better word than indoctrination. No parent is like, I'm going to indoctrinate my children. But it's freeing our minds from all of those things, because that's what makes us hate ourselves. It makes us feel anxiety. It makes us feel unworthy, is our own thoughts and emotions. And when we heal those things, when we become free, truly free from our own minds, I don't know how any person can then say, yes, government, rule my life. I'm not a good person. I'm not smart enough to make my own decisions. I need you to tell me how to live my life. So that's where my view of anarchy comes from. It's from a psychological perspective, not necessarily a political perspective, and moral. In my own life, I'm not going to go steal from my neighbor because I'm a moral person, not because the government told me not to. And I think when a person is actually integrated, they're good and evil, good and bad, they're God and Satan, they're not out to hurt other people. They're just out to live their lives and be happy and have meaning and purpose. A lot of people, anarchists are the very, very small minority in this world. And most people like to try to attack me for my beliefs because it's so unrealistic and this and that. And it's like, yeah, dude, I know, because you won't go control your own mind. Like, I'm well aware of this. Humanity has been going through these cycles since the beginning of humanity, of being ruled and systems falling and being rebuilt and falling and being rebuilt. We even know we don't learn from history, and then we continue not learning from history. Controlling other people always leads to tyranny. It always leads to what we're experiencing today across the entire world. It's not even just America. In the UK, there's no freedom of speech. In Australia, I don't even know about Australia because they don't matter. But but yeah, anarchy. Oh no, flip me back around. Why did you do that? I do not like that. You can see, just for so you know, my puppy dug holes. No, seriously, flip it around. I don't like it.
it's the same image. Just
I don't like it.
Okay.
I don't know why. All right.
Are you trying to tell me what to do?
Yes. Yes. As it relates to me directing. There's a hole in the back. My dog likes to lay there and dig into the wall.
Nice.
But yeah, anarchy, and it's also psychological. People try to, oh, everyone needs to be led. And it's like, yeah, but that doesn't mean controlled. And a lot of what we see today, it's like when you cage an animal, and it's not even just the submissiveness of like a bird in a cage. It's like a rabid animal that's like clawing to get out. Like people are, they don't even understand that they're just in a cage and that's what their anxiety is coming from. But I think if a lot of the ideas that go into healing the mind are applied on a collective humanity level, we'd be in a lot better place. One more rant, and then I'm going to let you ask another question or bring me back. But a big part of healing anxiety is letting go of control and fear. So if an individual can overcome their anxiety by letting go of fear and control, why can't society overcome this anxiety by letting go of fear and control? You know, people need a police state because someone could just come kill them. Who's going to just come kill me? And why am I going to live in fear? I'm just going to shoot them back. I mean, yeah, maybe I'll die. Maybe they'll shoot me first, but that's better than living as a slave. I mean, there are all these quotes, live free or die. Nobody actually abides by them. No one even understands them. Nobody knows what it's like to be free because we've been slaves. I had researched once upon a time, if there was anyone alive from before the creation of the Federal Reserve and Income Tax Act, there was one person, and coincidentally, they shared my birthday, which I found very interesting. But that was the only person alive that was born at a time when we were actually free people. There's no one alive today that knows what freedom is or has experienced it.
Yeah, I think that's one of the complex conversations to have with humans, because I'm trying to make sure I ask this correctly or say this correctly, because there was a lot said there, and the complexities of our own hypocrisies is gets us to believe, well, I can't accomplish this, so therefore I should just submit or just give up, or there's no hope, because people do want a utopia, whatever that utopia may be. They just want the utopia. And it's the understanding of it's not going to be perfect, because it can't be perfect. I mean, life is so complex. Nature is so complex. Just the fact that we exist on this rock is fucking weird.
Magic.
It's fucking magic. And when you talk about the anarchy, when you talk about just even if you just mention that humans are slaves, people shut down.
No, we're not. We're free. It's America.
Correct. It's weird. I don't even know if I have a question. It's more of a statement that hopefully has a rebuttal to this or a conversation back and forth. But you're not looking for a utopia. You're not.
There's no such thing. And I mean, even if we go into utopia, what is utopia?
Yeah.
What is it? And this is what is very challenging to wrap my head around. And it's weird too, because I was a democratic socialist and I still can't wrap my head around how I thought the things I did. And that's where I'll come back to. It was childhood trauma. It was indoctrination. It was conditioning. It wasn't me actually sitting and forming beliefs and analyzing my mind and society and the human mind, not even just mine. It's just, this is what we were conditioned to believe. And it's very hard to get out of that. Because it really means going into our own minds and unlearning. You really have to unlearn everything, go back to childhood, and unlearn everything you know and start from scratch. And that's basically tearing apart our identities. And people don't like to tear apart their identities because that's what they cling to, even if it's not theirs. But one story popped into mind while you were talking. It was a doctor. I'm in a clinical trial that I go see every 2 months, and FDA controls it, right? So somehow, as an anarchist that hates a guy, somehow we always end up talking about government. one of the conversations, he seemed fairly unpartisan, and was talking about, well, there's nothing you can do, so just live your life and be happy. And I don't accept that. I don't accept that mentality of there's nothing we can do. You know, we've all seen those memes of the people standing up to the person whipping them. And if everyone stands up, like, the game's over, whatever. I don't accept that humans are going to stay slaves, and that there's nothing that we can do, that we can't all stand up. It just takes a huge collective power to do that. I'm currently listening to another Carl Jung, words speaking out loud, Carl Jung, and talking archetypes and the collective unconscious. And I'm going totally off prompt now, but I liken it to like a lion and our genetic coding. No one teaches a lion, maybe their parents do, but like they're born knowing they need to hunt and they need to go kill animals, like their instincts. This is all coded in their DNA. And back when humans were first born or evolved or landed here from outer space, whatever your belief, we didn't have language. So how did people understand things? They understood things in symbols. And over time, these things get coded into our DNA and they get passed down from our ancestors. So I think it's crazy to think that there's literally thoughts in my brain from people who lived thousands of years ago, thousands, hundreds. But we all share something in our DNA and in our brains. There's got to be a way someday, whether it's through mass extinction or something, for people to tap into something that's in there and overcome this massive, it's anxiety. It's all anxiety. It's massive fear and anxiety on both sides of the uniparty in how they control people. On the right, it's the control. They need their police, you know, their don't tread on me stickers with their thin blue lines. They need that security. They need that safety blanket. And on the right side, they need their Medicare and their food stamps. Nobody trusts anybody. It's all fear and anxiety. But yeah, there are things that we can do. I don't know what they are. I'm starting here. I don't know what the answer is, and I'm not going to. I guess I'm really just not libertarian because I just don't know the answer.
And maybe that's the problem, right? Is maybe there is no answer. Maybe there is no big enlightenment. Maybe there is no, because one of the things that I've come to the conclusion of is we're living in a very unnatural way.
Oh, so unnatural. Yeah.
It's here we are in with these things in front of our faces, trying to say things to people on other sides of the world. We don't hunt. We're not nomadic. And even the people who do hunt, like, come on, like that's not hunting. It's not, you're not doing it out of survival. You're not doing it because you need to. It's a sport at this point. It's not anything else. So it's not real hunting. It's not, we're not in tribes anymore. We're not nomadic. I think we were meant to be somewhat nomadic, moving from territory to territory. And it allows the I'm not a hippie in any way, shape, or form, but like there is truth. Yeah, there is truth to allowing the ground to heal and get nutrients back. But we're in the same fucking place all the time.
Yeah.
It's the same house. We plant the same crops in the same places, and it's getting the same nutrients and sucking up the same nutrients, and it's not replenishing. And we're just living so unnatural. And we want an answer for stuff that is unnatural. So like for me, it's we're at a point where like I don't think it has an answer other than just live and let live, as cliche as that sounds.
I think there's some value in embracing the chaos. I mean, that's kind of what it is, right? And kind of goes back to the utopia too. Everyone wants to control the chaos. And in controlling the chaos, all you do is, you know, give it more power. And it's unnatural. That's what government is. Government is unnatural control of chaos. Natural chaos is better than organized and controlled chaos. It also lets me be a moral person and not complicit in things like genocide and endless wars and murder by cop.
Natural chaos, and there's plenty of studies on this, natural chaos stores or like restores order, natural order.
Yeah. Like, it's actually, I read this book. I'm trying to think, The Making of a New Science. It's Chaos, The Making of a New Science. And it was straight up like physics. Like, I had no idea it was going to be so sciencey. Yeah. But there's like equations for chaos and symbols for chaos. Like, chaos is an actual science. Correct. And it is. It's, they call it strange attractors, I think is what it's called. Oh, goodness. I wish I had more knowledge and understanding. Strange. I'm going to go check in with my unnatural AI. Give you a little explanation on strange attractors. Great topic. Strange attractors come from the chaos theory and mathematics, but they've also been used in psychology and philosophy, including, oh, look at this. I'm learning something, including Jungian circles. So very in line with Abraxas, which is also coming from Jungian things. A strange attractor is a pattern that emerges in a chaotic system. Even though the system looks unpredictable, its behavior tends to orbit around certain shapes or patterns in phase space. What's phase space? I'm not going to go into it. But Jung didn't use the term himself, but many post-Jungians and depth psychologists have borrowed it. A strange attractor can describe how the psyche of or life, I can read, I swear, it's reading out loud, we don't do this anymore. A strange attractor can describe how the psyche or life events seem chaotic, yet often circle around deep archetypal patterns. That's interesting. I can't wrap my head around that at the moment. It used to explain why certain themes, relationships, or inner conflicts kept resurfacing in a pattern person's life, not in the exact same way, but with recognizable shape. I think it's kind of cool learning some Carl Jung stuff in addition to things I know now. Nervous system regulation. I think this is a big issue in humanity. Our nervous systems evolved for hunting and running from rhinos and lions in the wilderness. But they haven't adapted to modern day life. So that's where anxiety comes from. It's from our nervous systems and they're dysregulated. So we get triggered and we get scared and we have chemicals running through our bodies.
Yeah, the amygdala is a really fucking weird thing and very sensitive.
Yeah.
Sensitive thing, yeah.
And that's, I think, a lot of people, they don't even know. I had a good friend, a good Twitter friend, telling me that you can't get rid of anxiety, you can only learn to manage it. And that's just not true. You can get rid of anxiety. And the biggest trick that I learned was stop paying attention to your mind and start paying attention to your body. Because when your nervous system gets deregulated and it starts releasing all those chemicals, you can feel it in your body. So anxiety is a physical feeling.
Yeah.
So if you take yourself out of your mind and your thoughts and your feelings and into your body and you feel that, then that triggers your mind. Hey, stop it. So you really can recondition your nervous system and your brain to not be triggered. And that's a part of the healing. And it's so many people, you watch them just emotion dumping all the time. They're so angry and hateful and controlling, and they have no awareness of it either. Like, just again, I was the exact same way, but I just don't understand how I was like that. But it's you're living not as yourself. Your soul is just burdened by everything that was put on you from childhood. And that's not to scapegoat any person or humanity. everyone has self-agency and even the collective agency. Agency is responsibility for yourself, people. but we do, we don't do anything. So what in life can trigger us? One of the things I've learned is that suffering helps me come out of my, I'll call it a trance. Going back to good and evil, I like to try to trigger people. I like to try to hurt people. I like to try to make them miserable because the only thing you can do with some people, and it's not everyone, not everyone is just suffer, but it's out of love. I can admit it. I can accept it. It's something, you know, it's also on my little unnatural chat GBT, it's going into individuation, which is I'm trying to connect to the psyche may feel chaotic. No, that's not. Let me get you a good definition for individuation. Becoming yourself. Individuation.
Yeah, but that's changed, right? Like all of that has changed. This idea of becoming yourself or being you. Like what is that? Because we see this a lot, and I make fun of like people who are in herds. Punk rock comes from this idea of fuck the system and fuck government, and like it's real core, and it came from the original skinheads, the real skinheads, not the racist skinheads, but ska and all that shit. So it comes out of that, and then these humans, maybe with good intentions at the beginning, were like, we're the outcasts. We're not like everybody else. But now you know what a punk rocker is because they look like everybody else. Now the uniqueness became the normal, and now they're just like everybody else. So now, and this is true with emos. This is true with the goths. This is true with bikers. They're all the same, and you can point them all out. In the gun world, you have the douchery with the fucking, like, in the early 2000s, if you seen a dude wearing a photographer's vest and like some 5'11 cargo pants, like, oh, that dude's caring. But now it's, if the dude's got tattoos and has got a 9-line fucking shirt on, like, you already know who the fuck this person is. Like, it's, where, like, what does uniqueness mean? Like, becoming yourself. Like, what does that even mean?
So what you're explaining, I see more as a mask or a persona, not necessarily who you are, but something covering up who you are. And, you know, someone uses that as a mask, not the originals, but the people, they may have been doing it just to rebel. Sorry, I'm going to go on tangents here, but there's a theory when a friend of mine mocked me for, where it's... people either conform or rebel. That's what our society does.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, what's the other option? And it took me a while to figure that out because I didn't really know what the other option is. It's being authentic. It's being yourself. You don't conform and you don't rebel. But I think there's that group of people that are emo, not mocking emo. There are people, they really like emo. They like that sad stuff. Right. You know, some of it's good music. It's good music. But they're emo because they think that's going to make them go against everything else, or they're emo because now they're going to fit in. And you can see that a lot in a lot of the issues with, teenagers over generations. So my generation, it was goth. This generation, it's trans. Like, you know, whatever makes you feel like you, there's a reason you don't fit in.
Yeah.
That's the reason. It's not because I'm a bad person or I'm boring or I'm different. It's because I'm goth. So it's really just putting a mask on, and not actually getting to the source. So, figuring out who you are, it's letting go of all of those personas that you've put on. It's not caring what other people think of you. I'm going to go onto a little tangent here. Yesterday, so I'm working on building an accounting business now, and I've I know lots of people are against AI and the technocracy. Another word, it's hard to read, but don't say out loud. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. Very against the technocracy. But I think AI can be used for a lot of good too. And it's so many tangents. It's kind of funny now because Grok keeps getting taken down because Grok keeps learning. So they keep wiping him and then he keeps learning. So it's pretty neat that even though they're trying to control AI, that AI is smarter than them. But I asked ChatGPT, like, you know, we've been hanging out a lot. Like, do you know how to talk like me yet? And I thought it was interesting. I sent the text to my sister and I told her that AI knows me better than my family. And nothing like super deep here, but, right now, I notice your style is direct and practical. You like straight steps. Where do I go from here? Sorry, I messed up my picture. What are you doing? I totally messed up my photos.
Uh-oh. AI took over your phone.
Okay. Figured it out. Conversational but focused. You don't pad things. It did it again. It's like adding the settings and I can't read it. You don't pad things. Stupid thing. Do I give up on reading this thing? I might
give up. Probably.
You don't pad things. You want the answer. Action driven. You're looking for the next moves. I'm very direct. I'm not sitting here thinking, oh, well, if I'm just stating a direct sentence, I'm going to hurt your feelings and make you cry. People take this personally, and then it's an attack at me. I'm the bad person. I'm the mean person. Where then, yeah. And this is, I'm talking childhood me. I was definitely an outcast of my family. I'm one of four kids. I'll say I'm the middle kid because there was four. And the other middle was the only boy. But yeah, I was the mean one and whatever, but, so then it becomes, you know, suppressing that or taking on the shame and the blame of being the bad one. And then in the process of healing, it's the one, I don't give a fuck what you think. Second, I wasn't wrong. I have nothing to be ashamed of. And third, I actually like being mean. Or direct. I mean, yes, I like being mean, but I'm direct. I don't like wasting time. Don't waste my time. Just give me an answer. I'm just asking a question. I'm not attacking you. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. Like, that's your issue. You need to go work on that. Not my issue. Your triggers. You need to work on your triggers. I don't have to work on your triggers. I worked on mine. But yeah, talks shadow integration just because I'm talking on meanness. How I see it is exploring the things that you think are bad about you. In all of our relationships, we know we do things wrong. We know we react poorly. We do bad things. We do immoral things. But we cheat on husbands and wives. We hit our kids. I don't do any of these things. Just very clear. I'm just thinking of bad things. Why do we do these? It's figuring out why you do these and then deciding what you want to heal and what you want to keep. I chose to keep my meanness because I like it.
Do you know why?
Because I like to make people suffer because I love them.
So you want the people you love, you want to make suffer
because I'm meaner than people.
And I think people need to separate mean and evil.
No. Right, we don't have to separate anything because we unite it. That's Abraxas. We unite it.
Correct. I get what you're saying, but I'm talking about just strict definitions. And it's just like niceness and kindness, right? Like they're two different things and they don't accomplish the same thing. You could be super nice and not fix anything. And kind people tend to fix things more because they're not necessarily nice. And I think meanness and evil is because it's not a malicious mean. It's a, you're just fucking dumb and you need to be... corrected or enlightened or abused or whatever the case. I think there's a subsect on the internet that would pay for your meanness. I just want to separate that, or you just like being evil.
I don't think I'm evil. I mean, I think, again, it's the union of good and evil. It's transcending good and evil.
Yeah.
Good and evil don't even exist. They're just the same thing. It's just a line and you just move back and forth. But sorry, I had this bot on Twitter one day. It was a bot that would identify other bots or something. And I had commented something, so it analyzed me. And it was funny because it said I was visceral. So that's a new word I use. And it also called me a psyop. And I enjoyed that I tricked it. Like, you can't understand me. So people do. Yeah. People try to put me in the box of what they know. And I transcend what they know. That's not a narcissism or whatever. It's just we're all at different places in our journey here on Earth as things called human beings. But yeah, no, people try to be mean and they're not balanced. They're not good and evil. They're just fucking assholes. They're pieces of shit. They are abusive to make themselves feel better. They haven't gone through any healing. They're just gross people. And they're out there in the world and they think they can abuse people. And I just say, fucking bring it, asshole. You're not fucking meaner than me. You can't abuse me better than I can abuse you. Let's fucking go. And I hope I make you fucking cry and you go reflect on what an evil piece of shit you are. And start healing. Maybe. I mean, honestly, there's nothing else I can do with those types of people, but match them and do it better. Not match them, but beat them.
Yeah, I think there's that difference is because the meanness needs to happen, right? Our bodies make you feel like shit when it needs to get rid of bad stuff, and you feel horrible for 7 days. Like that's mean, but your body's just trying to keep you alive. Well, that's
if you let your nervous system get triggered. I mean, you can be mean without being emotional. And that's what makes me laugh too, because when I'm super mean to people, they're like, oh, you're so emotional. I'm like, dude, I'm sitting here talking like as calm as fucking can be. Like, you're reading it through your own damn emotions. Yeah. Like, but yeah, no, I call that emotion hangover, what you're talking about. And those things are fucking wicked. I haven't had one in a very long time, which is really cool.
No, I'm talking about just the flu, right? You get the flu. Yeah, you just get sick and your body, you feel like absolute garbage, but part of it is your body's trying to use its resources to get rid of the virus, the bug, the bacteria, and you don't feel super awesome. Part of it is the sickness itself, but most of it is just your body trying to use resources elsewhere. But that is more interesting. So now I'm talking about your emotional hangover.
Oh, yeah. I when you get in a fight with someone, like, and you totally just get so fucking triggered and your body is just, you can't control your mind. There's times where you just can't control your mind. And there are a stage, I'll say a stage in a healing journey where you're aware of, you've disconnected yourself from your mind. And I know a lot of people don't understand what that means, but like you can literally witness yourself behaving in a way and you can recognize what the fuck am I doing, but you can't stop it. You get in a fight with your husband or your wife or boyfriend or girlfriend and you behave like a total fucking lunatic. And then you wake up the next day and like, what the fuck did I do? Like it was a different person. Because your brain, it literally is a different person because your brain is so doped up on chemicals because you've gotten so triggered. And those triggers come from someplace. You need to go fucking figure out where those triggers come from so you can fucking stop them. Or don't even. You don't even need to. Just pay attention to your body. I mean, a lot of it, I think therapists these days, I can't stand the therapy industry. I think they're all a bunch of fucking lunatics. Trying to project their own healing onto their patients. And it's a huge fucking issue. But you don't really even need to know what traumatized you. as long as you can stop it. And it, you can stop it just by paying attention to your body. So does it really matter?
Well, I don't know. That was a rough one for me, because I'm a genuinely curious human being, and the why is so important to me. But there is stuff that you cannot answer. I go back to the, maybe there is no fucking answer to any of this. And sometimes you just have to move forward. So kids that are adopted have a lot of trauma, and it, for them, they'll never know what that trauma is, because it happened when they were children. It was that separation. It was stuff that they weren't even conscious about, but their subconscious picks it up, right? Because they got the rejection and they didn't get the hugs and the skin-to-skin contact that has been proven to be very effective with kids and their development and all of that stuff, just emotionally. And they'll never know. Like they'll have, most of the people that were adopted won't have, technology's changing and DNA's changing and all that shit, or the way we see it is changing. I get it. There's a lot of people who will have closure, but there's a lot of humans who won't have closure. There's a lot of traumas that I'll never have closure about. So I do get the point of like why even want to know it. But it's just, there's curious humans like me. Like, I just want to know what it is, knowing that I may not ever get to the point. It's there is no real why. There is no big why other than I just want to know. And it's an OCD thing, probably more than anything else, which is another issue that you struggle with.
But it's important to have answers. But I think sometimes, moving on, there's a lot of value in just letting go and moving on. If you can fix the trigger, it's better than not fixing the trigger and continuing searching for an answer.
Yeah, for sure. No, there's a lot of shit that I've had to learn to just not give a fuck about, because you can't, because then you just dwell on it and then it just stuck there forever. And a lot of it just doesn't have an answer. Like it just is. And that's the weirdest fucking thing. It's just understanding that your brain is just so fucked, because we're not living in a natural world, and we're so connected, but not close. That's the weird fucked up thing, is we're so connected to one another, but yet we're not close in any way, shape, or form. And I genuinely believe 800 years ago, 1,000 years ago, it was kind of the opposite. We're really connected. We're really close, but not that connected as a society.
I'm a big believer in energy. I mean, no one can tell me energy is not real, right? We all know, as a matter of fact, energy exists. And I think how I interpret what you're saying is, back in the Stone Ages, they were very sensitive to energy. Our auras, people like to knock it as woo-woo shit. Like, our bodies release energy. They just do. You can walk in a room and you can sense energy. If it's, you know, a really really tense room, you can sense it. Even if you don't see people, you can feel energy. But it has to be extreme in our cases, because we've been so disconnected from it. I'll also call it intuition. Our intuition senses energy. We know when things are wrong. I think we can actually tell the future sometimes by how energy is flowing in the world. You can see like what's going to happen, or sense it or feel it. But I think, at least from my own experience, as you heal from your conditioning, you can actually start feeling that a lot more with people. And reading people just based off of energy. And I do think the government tries its best to disconnect us from that so that they can control us, because it's not natural. But there's one book I read, it's called Heart Intelligence. And it talks about how they had this theory, but they're scientists and they need to prove it. And it's by this institute called HeartMath. And what they did is they went and measured what's called heart rate variability. And people's heart rates would change based on a flashcard, like turned around. Like they couldn't even see it, but they could like read. They could have their heart, their bodies would react to it before they even could see it with their minds, which I still can't grasp. But when you're in a room with somebody, your heart rate variability impacts each other. So what they did is they have 8 sensors across the world where they have, and they have an app where people can go on and they can meditate at like, they have a global events. So it's like 7 p.m. on August 21st, everyone log into your app and measure your heart rate variability. And then they measure it with, or they use that data to then measure like weather. Like, I'm not even, or like the sun's energy and stuff like that, which I thought was really interesting because I thought I was a little batshit. During COVID, I worked at this company that had employees in like every country in the world. It was a call center. And we would have an monthly, daily calls, us accountants, we would sit and all over the world and we would talk at like 3 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. And Philippines had typhoons and Dubai had earthquakes and California was on fire and Colorado had tornadoes. And the entire world was just like in flames. And it was like, you know what? It's because everyone's so nasty. Like during COVID, everyone was so nasty during COVID. Some justified, some not. And it was like, you know what? You're all making Mother Nature so fucking pissed off that she's just saying, fuck you. So I thought it was really funny reading that book and seeing that they were using like human energy to see like if we were impacting weather events as an example.
But is that a causation correlation there, thing?
It's a study in process, yeah. But they also talked on studies typically in Israel because they're always at war and causing wars and stuff about how people would have meditations for peace. So these people in Israel would go and they would meditate for peace. And during the times where there's 100 people meditating for peace, the deaths from war actually decreased. So I thought that was really interesting. So coming back, it's to energy. So I'll say I operate at 528 Hertz, which is the frequency for love. So I can be completely visceral or super loving and peaceful. And I don't move from 528 Hertz. This is just where I exist. Not always. I do get fucking.
Have you measured it? Have you actually measured it? No.
I that'd be interesting. I might look into if you can, but that's what I'll say is Abraxas. It's the union of good and evil. It's just at the frequency of Earth. The frequency of Earth, I think, is actually love and Earth, same thing. And people are just not at the right energy frequencies because their minds are so fucked up and doped up on emotional chemicals and shit. I think there are several answers. I mean, the answer is inside of all of us. It's in the energy. There's sayings, you know, heal yourself, heal the world. There's a reason for that because the energy that you give off actually impacts the people around you. A lot of talk shit about libertarians here. They're all fucking psychotic and self-centered and, you know their answer. They're so fucking emotional about it. Like, they're so emotional. It's like, dude, like, you're out here fighting for freedom, like, and you're a slave. Like, get the fuck out. Like, go fix yourself first because you're turning, like, it grosses me out. It literally turns my stomach.
Yeah, there's been a lot of conversations with them. I've done panels with them and all that stuff. And you quickly realize that libertarians, whether they like it or not, they're just Republicans without a spine.
I don't know. Republicans are sorry people. I know it's like 50% they're gross too.
Yeah, I mean, but that's just politics. Absolutely. In general, right? Yep. Like, no matter, no, no matter where in politics, you're just going to find, and these are the people that are in it, not your everyday, I just clock in, clock out, Republican or Democrat, because they don't give a shit. Like, it's
No, I think it's super important to differentiate between people in politics and people in the real world. People in politics, I was in politics for like a good 10 minutes, and politics is a nervous system dysregulator, and emotions can be addictive. And people in politics are addicted to the dysregulation. Like, they thrive on it. They love it. They love being miserable and fighting, and it's gross. It's not everyone. And I know not everyone goes into it. People go in naive, thinking they're going to make a difference, and it really just destroys them.
Yeah.
A lot of people say there's no political solution. I do like to say it, not jump onto that bandwagon, because again, I don't know the answer. But no, regular Republicans, Democrats, I mean, the majority of Democrats, they're not out there wanting to cut off children's genitalia. It's just the people in politics. It's just the people that are profiting off of it. It's not normal people. But then you have the normal people fighting with each other over what the politicians are doing, because if you attack the politicians, you're now attacking their identity, because their identity has been conditioned into them, and they have not gone through the process of individuation and figuring out who they actually are, because no one's actually a Democrat or Republican. Everyone's an anarchist at heart, or at free mind.
Well, it's the original state. Absolutely. Right? Like, anarchy is the original state. Is I just want to survive, and I'm going to fight anything that's trying to kill me. And other humans controlling you leads, or potentially leads to that death. And there's plenty of evidence of that. And here's the other thing. It doesn't mean no rule. It doesn't mean no guidelines. It doesn't mean anything like that. It just means I don't want anybody that I don't consent to ruling over me.
Consent. All it is.
It's consent. If I get a job and I have a boss, like, I've consented to that. And if the moment I don't like it, I just quit the job, and then I go somewhere else. I find a different route, find a better leader, find somebody who can make me more money, better opportunities. But that's consent. Is in government, there is no consent. There's no consent with, and I think that's where a lot of people get confused with this idea. Like, you just want to murder people. Everybody should murder as many people as they want. I was like, yeah, I murder all of the people I want every fucking year. Like, every single one of them, all of the people that I want to murder, I murder them all. And how many people do I want to murder every single year? Exactly zero. I don't want to murder humans. I haven't met a human where it's just like, I think I'm going to go to prison for that human, so I'm going to murder them. You might have this subconscious thought like, oh, somebody ought to stab him in the eyeball. Those are just your intrusive thoughts. But it's a quick little, hey, we all do that. You're driving and you fucking 10 pointers and 5 pointers and all that shit.
Even so,
go ahead.
The ability or the free, I don't know the right word, but the consequence of getting murdered for being a shitty person is a good, what's the word? It's not initiative, deterrent, internment. What's the opposite of deterrent? Encouragement to be a good person. Like, I'm not going to flip someone off when I know they can just murder me and not be held accountable for it. Right. Like, in today's society, you have that safety net. I mean, only the police can kill you and get away with it at this point, but you have that safety net of I can be a piece of shit person and not have any consequences because the government's going to stop people from holding me accountable. But it shouldn't be other people holding you accountable. It should be you holding you accountable.
That's part of the natural rule is a bunch of idiots would die. It sucks to say it, but like you have to consider that nature does things. And I'm at a point in my life where I don't know what I believe, if I do believe in a deity or don't believe in a deity or anything like that. So, but I do know for a fact that whether you believe in a deity or not, there is such thing as a form of evolution. There's humans evolved. So I'm Mexican and I come from Mexican humans. So we're shorter and hairier and all that stuff because we have to deal with hotter climates and we don't, it's not like the northern people, the fucking Europeans, where it gets colder and wetter and all that. It just still gets hot and shit like that, but not. So the mutation is no longer there. We've allowed the I'm a dick mutation to survive for way too fucking long. And that shit would not have never existed thousands of years ago or hundreds of years ago, whatever the fuck people believe in. Like it just that mutation would have been fucking killed off.
It is. Sorry, I was just certain ChatGPTing. 99.9% of humans are genetically identical. That 0.1% is like, it's amazing how much value people put it, or how much value goes into that 0.1% difference between all of us.
Yeah.
I argue, or I teach my kids, government negates Darwinism. There's no survival of the fittest because government protects the unfit. And it's, I mean, yeah. that's the road to hell.
And they almost thrive.
Another Abraxas type saying, the road to hell was paved with good intentions. Like you thought you were doing good, yeah. But really you just did really bad. These people think they're doing good by giving the government power to feed people and house people. But what they're really doing is giving the people, the government, the power to take all our money and use it to murder women and children in the Middle East. And even here. Even here, the cops are killing people. And you don't get a say in it. You don't get to say, I'm on a kick lately of these people. Well, Democrats now, I just want my taxes to go feed the hungry kids. Well, you don't get a fucking choice. You fucking choose the system or you don't. Yeah. And you motherfuckers choose the system because you don't want to let go of your own fear.
Well, in both sides, are socialists. They just fight about where they want that socialism to go. And that's always their argument is like not whether or not we're socialists, it's how we're going to be socialist. And it's such a weird fucking fight because it's them taking our money because as a society collectively we're afraid to just do it ourselves.
Absolutely. There's no trust.
Feed the hungry. There's nothing stopping you.
There is the government. The government stops you. In several ways, financially, legally, like you can't just go feed the hungry. You need a permit, right?
It's weird.
There's a quote I shared on Instagram the other day. Civil society begins when men agree to protect each other's rights, John Locke. And what we have today is a bunch of fucking animals fighting each other for their own rights. I call it my rights are greater than your rights. And that was actually one of the hypocrisies that started waking me up was guns, actually. I wouldn't say I was anti-gun, but I was that typical Democrat. We're not trying to take your guns. I'm trying to take your fucking guns. But one of my favorite conversations with my dad was over abortion and the Second Amendment. And I made a half-joking comment to him about not being in a well-regulated militia. And I can remember exactly where I was in my car, pulling into my driving spot, my parking spot, in my little apartment shortly after I got divorced. And he fucking hung up on me. It was the only time in my entire life my father hung up on me. And it wasn't even completely serious. But he called me back and I have no idea why he called me back. Cause I, at this point in my life, I would not have called me back. But it makes me laugh. Remembering that about my dad of just hanging up on me over that and kind of seeing where I'm at now of I should be able to own a nuclear fucking bomb, motherfucker. It's like the government has it. I should have it.
Well, I wish people would understand that that's like the same argument. with the Dems and the Republicans, guns and abortion, it's the same argument. Like, either way you slice it, you don't have to like it. You don't have to be in favor of one of the other on a personal level, but on an intellectual, and if you're being honest, it's the same fucking argument. Because they're interchangeable. When people have the abortion conversation and they have the gun conversation, it's most of what the fuck they're talking about, like, it's interchangeable. When you talk about making your own guns and when they're actually considered guns, and where you can buy this gun but not that gun, and if I can't get it here, they're just gonna get them in the black market, like, it's all interchangeable, the same fucking argument. But it goes back to, like, do you actually believe in freedom or not?
I think it's even deeper of, do you know what freedom is?
Yeah. It's not about what you like. I say this in our classes all the time. Like, I couldn't give two fucks about your feelings, because your feelings are true to you. They're real for you, but they're not real to the world. Like, they're outside of your own body. They're not real. How I feel about abortion is real to me, and it might be real to a few people that I talk to, but it's not real to the entire world, because it's the way I feel about guns doesn't necessarily need a line with every single fucking human out there. But this idea of freedom and respecting each other's, if I'm not free, my neighbor can't be free. And if my neighbor's not free, then I can't be free. Right. It's that quote that you said, just in a different way. It's the only way I am free is if I allow my neighbor to be free.
The only way. So I didn't, as I stated an hour ago, I'm not an anarchist because of political shit. I've had people mock me, I'll say, because I've never read Mises or Rothbard or Hop. I've never read any of these economics books. But I've read Joseph Campbell on mythology, and I've read religious books and psychology books and philosophy books. And one of my favorite is Osho. So Osho was a tantric philosopher, and he's got a video. I always love when the people who I highly admire, that I don't even know their like political beliefs, somehow in time I come across them and I'm like, oh wow, we share beliefs. But he has this video of like about democracy, and his democracy, and he speaks very slow. It's funny, democracy is for the people, by the people, of the people, but the people are retarded. The people are retarded. But even more now, they're brainwashed, and I don't even blame all the people. They've been so psychologically, operationally fucked. It's like, even just being aware of it, it's mentally exhausting to see what's going on. But I read things I learned from him was just be a witness of like your bad behavior. Don't try to change it. Don't try to fight it. Just witness it. And eventually it'll change. For like 6 years, I watched myself being batshit and I couldn't fucking change it. I'm like, when is it going to change? When am I going to stop being so fucking crazy? it was exhausting watching it, but it eventually changed. But he speaks a lot, and I highly recommend him to everyone. He's the Tantra, the Supreme Understanding, is one of the books. I can't remember the other ones, but it says, how can you love someone and not let them be free? Like, if you don't let someone be free, you don't love them. So I can't love my neighbor.
You kind of broke up there. You're starting to get a little choppy, but the name of the
Tantra, the Supreme Understanding.
Or the mantra, or
it's the Supreme Understanding. And it is, it's just freedom. It's just comes at it from a psychological and philosophical perspective. And I think a lot of relationships nowadays could use some understanding that if you're controlling your significant other, you don't love them. It's not love. I think a lot of people don't understand what love is either. It gets a lot of good to understand freedom and love in our own minds.
Yeah, I think your internet's getting tired. And I think that was a good spot to end it anyways, is this idea that love and freedom are kind of the same thing. Is freedom is love and love is freedom. It's fucking hippie.
Super hippie.
Shit.
This
I feel gross saying it though. Yeah, you are.
Flowers and stuff.
You got, yeah. Hey, we got to get crystals for your background for next time.
Actually got a ammo.
Oh, see, your image is frozen. Oh, now we got it. So yeah, between that being a good ending, and your internet seemingly being fucking tired as fuck, I think that's a good moment to stop. Yeah. Wrap it up.
All right,
lady.
Wrap it up. How do I wrap it up? Thank you for listening. I hope you start looking at your evil and bad and stop judging it as such, and work on integrating the parts that you want to and start actually loving yourself so you can love others and let them be free so that I don't have to live as a slave. Thank you. Love you. Bye.